Before I start, a couple of announcements. You see me today, all the whole service, because Pastor Ben is at the North Campus, preaching at the North Campus. We are doing a swap. So I will do the communion, Holy Communion later as well. And so please pray for North Campus as we are growing, as you probably, some of you have heard. And this is our third English service over there. So pray, praise the Lord, and pray for the growth of English service and member of, in North Campus. And another reason you see me here today is this month is the Mission Month. So Home of Christ Church has a tradition of October as the month of the mission. So who has been here in last Mission Month last year? Can you raise your hand? Okay. So so today's message, I call it let all the peoples praise you. It comes from Psalm 67. Let me read Psalm 67 first. It says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us a rich psalms in such short seven verses. Help us to see, to hear from these psalms your heart for the nations, your heart for why we praise and worship you, your heart for your gospel to be claimed. May the Holy Spirit help us to see the riches and respond to the calling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I don't know of you, but mission is part of the basic foundational Christian teaching. I guess in many of the Christian circles, mission has been an afterthought. And sometimes even our church, we have mentioned mission in a way that I encourage you to think through this, because we have people who said, you know, I'm all dedicated to one ministry, a gospel ministry. But for some reason, gospel ministry by itself is just a local, you know, gospel, like a small group. But gospel ministry is more than the local group. Gospel ministry, it includes mission. So I want to change the, in the past 7 years as the elder overseeing the mission board, I want to change that perception. Perception is that if you are really for the gospel, if you are really trying to say, you know, I'm a Christian, I witness the gospel, I share the good news of Jesus Christ, there's no way you can avoid, or there's no way you can ignore mission. And the reason is, you sometimes, you know, we treat mission is because, as a young Christian myself, going through the, you know, I was a younger Christian as well, it feels that I was only partially obeyed the Great Commission. I was only, you know, serving in a capacity to share the gospel in a small group, but never thought through why mission, it has to be part of my calling as a Christian. So today I want to change that perception. And also, people are saying, hey, you know, interesting, you choose Psalm 67. Why Psalm 67? Well, there's a reason. Psalm 67 by Charles Spurgeon, he called this the Israel missionary psalm. In other words, we're going to look through the you see there are a lot of praise and worship here, but I don't know if you have heard a praise and worship song that's about mission as well. So I want to today change our perception. Is that partial obedience to say, I only share gospel with local Chinese community, also in my own small group, in my own church. That's partial obedience. It's not full obedience. Full obedience is that you need to embrace the mission both locally, the gospel ministry both locally, and also pray and witness and also give for a missionary far and ahead. So that's why a church, as a healthy local church, our church are both involved in local gospel ministry as well as mission organization and supporting missionaries above and beyond aboard. So today I want to go using the praise and worship song to talk about why mission. In the praise and worship, we hear why we need to do mission. And of course, mission is an acronym for, you know, far above and beyond just the local gospel ministry. And then what do we do in the mission? And then how? I'm calling all Home of Christ Church, each individual Christian. If you think you are a Christian, if you know you are a Christian, I'm calling you to obey the Great Commission. So first of all, let's start with verse 1. As I mentioned, this is a psalm of praise and worship. And this psalm is very interesting. It starts with I would call the Old Testament benediction. Everybody knows that at the end of the service, the elders or the pastors should give a benediction. The Old Testament benediction is this, right? If you change the us to you, say, may God be gracious to you and bless you and make his face shine upon you, that's the benediction. And what's interesting is that when I was preparing this message, is that the first verse of this psalm changed that you to us and becomes a prayer. It's very, God used his own word to say, if you want to receive that blessing, you should also pray about that. He said, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. That's a great prayer. But in this very own prayer itself, you see that the God of the universe has given us the clarity on what he does to us and what his heart for humanity. He said, in this prayer or in this benediction, we see that the work of the triune God, the three and the one God, three person, one God, are also shown here. So theologian says, hey, you know, look at this. God be gracious to us. Actually, that gracious to us is actually, there's another translation, sometimes they have mercy on us. Okay? So that means this is God the Father, he's doing his work to forgive us. And then said, and to bless us. And the blessing usually comes from Jesus Christ. So the God the Son is the channel for whom the blessing comes, because without Jesus Christ's sacrifice, as the communion will remind us, we will not have true blessings. And then make his face shine upon us. What does that mean? It means the Holy Spirit reveals Christ's work to us. We cannot become a Christian without the Holy Spirit moving inside us to see and to taste the sweetness and the glory behind God's salvation through Jesus Christ, his Son. So in this benediction and prayer, we see the triune God work to move and to change the psalmist's heart for a greater blessing. And next, we can see that a greater prayer, a prayer for all. He said, yeah, your way, what does God bless us to do? Bless us to your way may be shown on earth, known on earth, your saving power among all nations. You can see that. Immediately in this praise and worship, the psalmist is not just thinking about us, me, my clan, my country, my church, my ethnicity. No, it's more than that. On earth and all the nations. You see, you can see the momentum pushing behind us. Is when we praise and worship, we are praising and worship a God that wants to bless every nationality, every people group, every human being that can know him and worship him. And that's where we can see the momentum. And the other part of this is that what does God bless us with? What? With what? It's right here. Your way, God's way. What's God's way? Righteous way. What else is there that shows the way it is? It says your saving power. And theologian, you know, they did a lot of these word studies. You know, they carefully look at examine the connections between the wordings. They said in this verse here, at the end of this verse, it's connected to Apostle Paul's act 28. In the last description of Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 28, verse 28, Apostle Paul said this. Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God was sent to the Gentiles. They will also hear." Come on. Connection. God's saving power is projected and prayed upon through the benediction to Israel to all the nations. And Apostle Paul, in his, he was preaching the gospel. He was apostle of the Gentiles, but in Acts he always mentioned, he always go to the synagogue preaching to his Jewish fellow countrymen. But then when they don't all accept that, he said, "This be known to you, that this saving power is to be preached to the Gentiles as well." This is the age of the Gentiles. Did you know that any of the time of the Sunday, the number of a Gentile church, like we are Chinese, we're a Gentile church, are far exceeds any Jewish church worshiping Christ. Why is that? Because it is God's blessing to all nations. So what's the foundation of all this? The foundation of those is connected to what we call the Abrahamic covenant, which is when God blessed Abraham, he was establishing a covenant to Abraham to say that I will make you a great nation and I will bless you, but make your name great. So that, you see, there's a purpose of blessing. When we receive blessing, when Israel was blessed through Abraham, so that you will be a blessing to others. This blessing is not only to Abraham's descendants alone. It's also to bless those who bless you. When we praise the God of Abraham, we are blessing. We are blessed with God, with the God by the God of Abraham. So this is a blessing, that promise that Abraham will bless the whole earth through his seed, through the seed of Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to delve deeper here, but remember, every day we live in a consummation of all the covenants together. The covenant through Adam, life and death by obedience, the covenant of works, the covenant of Noah, when we still see the rainbow still shows today, and Abrahamic covenant, when we believe the God of Abraham, we are adopted into God's family as the sons of Abraham by faith, not by blood, not by DNA. And also we are living in the days of the church where Jesus reigns as a king, as the covenant of David. Every day we live on earth, we are living in a continuation revelation of the covenants. All the Old Testament covenants, none of them has gone away. They are all continuing in the church today and in the Israel's who still believe, who shall believe. So we live in a covenantal blessing. And the day's communion is about the new covenant. We cannot live apart away from the covenants revealed from Old Testament to the New Testament. This is such a blessing. Because God has committed to himself a covenant that he will never break through the blood of his Son. So, we're going to sing a hymn today later as a response song. And some of you who has arrived early may have heard that music singing. This is the name of this hymn is called Facing a Task Unfinished. As I mentioned, how does this all connect to the mission? Well, let me read this. This is a hymn written in 1931. It's almost 100 years old. And it's also connected to the Chinese community, Chinese Christian community. Because this was written by a China Inland missionary, a general director. So this is if any ethnicity, any language speakers, it should be the Chinese Christians to be very familiar with this song. Because this is from China Inland Mission. He was the director of China Inland Mission. And this is, he wrote it to call missionary to preach the gospel. Because at that time, and still today, I mean, maybe recently superseded by India, Chinese are the most people, like the ethnicity people, right? So, and I also said this has a significance for us also is in that it's in English. Why is it English is significance? English is the most spoken general language of the whole earth right now. Listen carefully. Chinese is the second most spoken language. English is the most spoken language of the whole earth now, right now. And what's interesting about English is that out of the 1.3 billion people who speak English, who have some fluency in English, 900 million of them speak other languages. But if you look at Chinese, out of the almost 1.1 billion people who speak Chinese, only maybe 200 or 300 million knows any second language. So English is the missionary language, I would say. English is the missionary language right now. So let's hear the lyrics. That this is a message in by itself, echoing what the Psalm 67 says. He says, facing a task unfinished that drives us to our knees, a need that undiminished rebukes our slothful ease. You know, I really like the today's song, the first one, Amazing Grace. In that very first verse, it reminds us who we were and who sometimes we are still, a wretch like me. So a good hymn always starts a clarity of humanity and of the Christian as well. He said, we who rejoice to know thee, renew before thy throne the solemn pledge we owe thee to go and make thee known. In a very short stanza, the first stanza, the whole theme of this hymn is already revealed. When we have a covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are making a solemn pledge that we owe him our life and to make him known. Whether locally, whether in the place you work, whether in the sports team you play, whether in your family, you need to make him known, or far away. And why that? Well, one thing we have to be clear of the current missionary outreach. In the Joshua Project, it tells us out of the 1,400 unreached groups, there are about 1,400 ethnicity people groups, there are 7,200 unreached. So I don't want to go into too much detail here. Unreached doesn't mean it's a country or ethnicity. It's like you could have an unreached group in the United States where gospel is broadly preached. When we say unreached, it's meaning that there's a small ethnicity or people who live together where there's no church built among them. So in America, we do have unreached people groups. Okay, I don't have the statistics, so you can go to this and find out. Meaning that there are a certain ethnicity and language, people live in this community, but they have no church. They have no Christians to witness to them that they need to believe Jesus Christ. They need to have the salvation to have eternal life. Otherwise, they will be condemned forever when they die. So 70 to 100 are still, meaning half of which are still unreached. So in China, in Europe, you have unreached people groups. Like a lot of Jews in North Africa, a lot of Jewish society in Europe, they are still unreached. There's no Jewish Christians, all Christians, witness to them. And another part of the things about today's mission approach is different is that before we were talking about go, send them aboard. You know, you have to ride on horse or get into the boat for 6 months to get to China. And you have to learn Chinese, which I have never spoken before. But today is very different. Today is that it says all countries have unreached groups and has Christians already, has churches already, but not all people groups has churches. So today's missionary is different, meaning that if you go to China, you have unreached people groups, like some the Uyghur or the people who are Muslim in China. There are unreached Muslims in China. There's no Christian witnessing to them. You can speak Chinese to share the gospel with Muslims. You can speak English to a country, a people group in Europe to share the gospel. English is the main missionary language could be right now. So why? Well, seeing that the music we're singing, the hymn we'll be singing, we're still unfinished. So that's why when we look at the psalm here, when we connect this to the psalm is that in the Old Testament, God has a very, I would say, God is smartest, right? In this psalm, you see what we call the chiasm, where the center of the psalm is the thrust of the psalm. The Psalm 67, when we say, let all the people praise you, that verse is repeated in verse 5. It's called chorus, or called refrain. But the center of the psalm is like the sandwich, the meat, right? You have the blessing, the benediction. You have the blessing at the end. You have the praise, where I titled today's sermon, let all the people praise you. That's the theme of the mission, right? Let all the people praise you. In the middle of it is the meat. So let's go to the meat first. I know everyone likes to, like the burger, you know, the meat is the most important. All right, so what's the meat? The meat is this, right? Surrounding this meat, you have cheese and lettuce, right? You have the let all the people praise you. And that's where, you know, but what does that mean? Well, what it means is that, why do we go missions? Well, one of the missions, the reason we go is that there's people are not praising God. And why do they need to praise God? Why do they need to worship God? Well, look at here. Because in this verse 4, the meat of the sandwich, what we have here is why God must be worshipped and needs to be worshipped and worthy our worship. What is the center? Is a God that worthy and must and we should is worthy our worship. You see, God will judge the earth. God will judge, no matter whether you know him or not, people are saying, hey, you know, I didn't know him. How could he judge me? Well, he created you. He sustained you, right? Everything, every air we breathe, every meal we meet, whether we acknowledge it, it comes from God alone. So in one of the hymns where they sing today, it says, from him, through him, to him, everything will eventually ascribe glory to him. The other part of the reason is why we worship, why we need to center our mission on to preach the God that worthy our worship, is that he has power. You see, God is a God that guides us. You think all the, I don't know if you, I mean, some of you may, a lot of you will vote in the upcoming, what, election that's coming, right? And you have heard the wars are still going on, right? And you have all kind of alliances forming in the world. You may have the stock market responding. There are a lot of things unknown, up and downs in the world. Who is behind all of it? You can say, you know, nations, powers, you know, Satan. But above all everything else, God is the one who is in control of history. He's the power that guides nations. Who will decide? Your vote decided the new president, or God decided the new president? It's both. God is the ultimate factor, but our voting still counts. So what I want to say is anything, when you worship God, you have to understand this is the only, like Sunday morning, right? Or anytime you worship, this is the power that's worthy of it all, because he is behind everything. He is supporting you. He is changing your heart. He is like speaking to you through this, you know, worthless servant. Let's come to the last one, a God of grace. You know, this psalm, when we sing praise and worship, we always, a lot of them we hear, there's a joy in worshiping God. This is also true here. In the very center of this verse, this is Psalm verse 4. It says, let the nations be glad. And why is that? Because God is a God of grace. He guides us. He tells us through his word. And let's go to the next stanza of the Facing a Task Unfinished. He said, where are the lords beside thee? Hold their unhindered sway. Where forces that defy thee still today. With none to hear their crying for life and love and light, unnumbered souls are dying and pass into the night. This is, again, this is talking about the urgency of the mission. In this, when we say, you know, let all the people praise you, let, you know, God be honored. But one thing is, we have to realize that if they do not know God, if they do not honor God, if they do not love God, if they do not have the true God, and nor have they heard or learned from the true God, they will reject the true God. And they will be passing into the night. As the hymn has reminded us, Because that means they will be eternally judged. They will never die. They will suffer in eternal hell. And that's the urgency we have. It's not the urgency is not only for like our relatives, our fathers who do not believe, our brothers who walk away from God as if nothing is not important. It's more than the people nearby us. It's also people who are far away. So that's the missionary call, that because there's an urgency in preaching the gospel. So I like this chorus. It says, we go to all the world with kingdom hope unfurled. I was like doing Merriam-Webster dictionary on what's unfurled. No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord. What's unfurled? Unfurled is like a rolling out of the tent, of a wrapped carpet. Meaning that when we go preach the gospel near and far, we are bringing the good news. Because only the power of Jesus can save them from eternal damnation. So let's come back to the ending of the psalm. We are talking about why we need to have mission, what to do in the mission, why God needs to be praised. In the end of the mission, remember we said the whole Psalm 67 started with a blessing of the gracious blessing from Israel. And the middle of the psalm talk about the missionary push to say God needs to be praised not just among Israelites, not just among Christians who are reached, unreached people. And lastly, what's the best way to end the psalm other than the blessings we have received from God? Remember, the beginning is a prayer for blessing. In the end, it says, the earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, bless us. God, bless us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. The psalm ends on a high note. The high note is that, God, you blessed us so that we become a blessing to the end of the earth, that they may fear you as a father in heaven. That's the reason. That's the thrust. That's the calling. So in summary, we talk about why we worship. We talk about the blessings that God granted to him, to those who trust him. And because he's a God of power, he's a God of mercy. And we talk about we need to trust and obey him. So I want to share with you what we have picked up as the theme for this year's mission month. The theme of this year's mission month comes from Pastor John Piper. He says, go, send, or disobey. We don't even have a Chinese translation. Every one of us translates differently, slightly. But why do we do this? As I mentioned today, I used the hymn, Facing a Task Unfinished. There are many others who have gone to not only China in the mission, not only Africa in the mission. There are others, like William Carey, sent to India, Adonai Judson, sent to Burma, and the Cambridge Seven, they were China in the missions. These are goers. Today, can you be a goer? Can you be a goer? As I have shared, you can be a goer without having to go into foreign land. Because if you know English language, you can talk English, speak English language to the unreached groups in the United States, to the unreached group in Europe, to the unreached group in China, to the unreached group in Taiwan, possibly. There are many unreached groups among all countries now. You can be a goer, but you need to dedicate your time to learn them, to know about them, to share the Christian disciple one by one and establish a church. That's a goer. You may not be called to do that. Most of us are not goers. But why? Why do we need to? Then what do we do? Well, we need to be senders. But let's use the hymn again. It says, we bear the torch that flaming fell from the hands of those who gave their lives proclaiming that Jesus died and rose. So in this task, it's all about death and life. Ours is the same commission, the same glad message ours, fired by the same ambition to preach where Christ has never been preached. To thee we yield our powers. This is the calling. If we are not goers, we can still be committed to this by being sender. by being a person who, a team who called and support the goers. As in 3 John, Apostle John said, "Beloved, this is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are." So we may not know these missionaries personally. Maybe elders know, but not everyone. Who testify to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. Senders. You may not be a goer, but you are called to be a sender. Because this year's theme, go, send, or disobey. If you don't do any of those and you are not prayerfully thinking about it, I just want to say, maybe you are disobeying. So in the end, I want to end today's message on this hymn. It says, "O Father," this is a prayer too, right? "O Father who sustained them, O Spirit who inspired Savior Christ, whose love constrained them, the love of Christ constrained them to toil with zeal untied. From cowardice, defend us." Let's not be cowards. We may not go, but we can stand up to send. "From lethargy, awake. We may not know this calling beforehand until Elder David tells us, if you don't go," not me, I'm sharing the message from many senders, "don't be lethargic. Don't ignore because you are disobeying. From lethargy, awake. Awake from your lethargy. Force on thine errand send us to labor for thy sake." Let's labor to support the goers if we are not goers. Let's have a word of prayer. O great God, as you have sustained these goers, you have sustained these preachers and your servants, sustains us. As you move them, you move us. As your love constrained them, rouse us with the zeal untied. And let us be a faithful sender. The lions stood in the street and blocked the way. The lions are cowardice, an unwillingness to bear a costly witness. Lord, help us to see the immeasurable gain on the other side of this temporal loss. Let us see what is at stake for our neighbor when we are neglecting them and fear to preach the gospel. Lord, stir us from this second lion. That's our lethargy. Let us learn from the ant and the foolish virgins or the cursed fig tree. Don't let us just to stay in our current path of coldness or ignoring missions. Awaken the church militant to be dissatisfied with just, you know, our local ministry. Awaken Home of Christ Church, who will witness not only to our local community, but also support missionaries going forward. Help us with the power of your Spirit, that we know the gates of hell shall not prevail. That church will so rejoice in sharing good news to the world that each of us can see ourselves called to be either goer or sender. Lord, we will go. Send us forth on your errands. Whether it's prayer, whether it's money support, whether it's to learn and connect with missionary for your sake, we pray that you awaken the Home of Christ Church from this lethargy and glorify your name and proclaiming your glory for the fame of your name to all nations. Let all the peoples praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.